My message for tonight is simply entitled, Just Another Face in the Crowd. One of the things that I learned when I was serving in the city of Toronto was that when I was meeting new friends from other countries, I had to be very careful with the words I use both in my sermons and just in my general conversations with newcomers to Canada. It is so easy to mispronounce a crucial word or not explain a word very well or use idioms that they just do not understand, and it leads all to confusion. This is also true of children who are just learning how to use the English language. There is a great story, and I apologize if I've told it to you before, but it's one of my favorites from the Christmas season. There was a bit of a confusion, it seems, in a Sunday school class that occurred at this time of year. The teacher had been speaking to her young students about the birth story of Jesus, and to help the children learn further about the nativity, she instructed them to draw their own version of the nativity scene. As you can imagine, the little hands got busy with the crayons, creating sheep and donkeys and shepherds and angels and Mary and Joseph and the wise men and, of course, the manger with Jesus in it. When the children were finished, the teacher took time to go around and examine the work. In one little boy's picture, the usual characters were present, except there was a jolly fat man sitting in the corner. And the teacher suspected that the little boy had somehow thrown Santa Claus into the nativity and asked him about it. Who's that in the corner of your picture? Santa Claus? To which the little boy replied, No, teacher, that's Round John Virgin. The little boy, of course, had heard the words from the Christmas carol, Away in a Manger, and Round John Virgin was in that, or Round Yon Virgin, excuse me, and he just assumed that John should be in the scene in Bethlehem. How much attention have you given to a nativity scene today? There's one here beside me. I mean, really looked at one. Some of you may be seeing nativity scenes for the first time in your lives, as maybe this is your first Christmas in Canada. Most nativity scenes are pretty standard, are they not? To begin with, they usually have some representation of a wooden barn to cover the Holy Family, when in all likelihood, according to scholars, it wouldn't have been made of wood. Instead, the stable would have been a cave carved into a wall of rock. We also usually see the assorted animals that would be associated with an inn or came with the traveling public to Bethlehem. So nativity scenes often include sheep and donkeys and maybe even with a few goats thrown into the mix. There's an old legend from way back that has arisen that animals supposedly talked at the nativity scene at midnight, and they still do, but we know that's fantasy. With the inn being full, the stable would be very crowded with all the guests' animals, plus their saddles and mangers and the people who came and went at all hours to tend to their animals. We know, for example, that the shepherds, they came to see Jesus, and most nativity scenes have them represented somewhere. Some place an angel over the whole scene, even though the scriptures are pretty clear that the angel appeared in a field far away from Bethlehem. Most nativity scenes also have the wise men present, when even the biblical accounts make that absolutely impossible, since they arrived, according to scripture, about 2 years later and met Mary and Jesus in a house, according to Matthew. But animals and people packed into that little place. But have you noticed that to streamline things, a lot of people have been eliminated from nativity scenes? That happens in life, doesn't it? People get kind of lumped together. They are deemed unnecessary, and we just push them aside or throw them aside. And there had to be other people in that stable that night. Or in Bethlehem, certainly, for that night. We just don't think of them as very important to the story, so we don't talk about them. There had to be present, of course, the innkeeper and probably his family, and we hear about him. He may have had assorted servants. He would have maybe had a stable boy. There would have been cooks and waiters and others who worked in the inn. And the inn was a very busy place with people arriving unannounced. Who made reservations in Jesus' day? The innkeeper and his staff would have been very tired trying to meet all the demands of their guests. We don't pay much attention to the innkeeper or even try to understand the innkeeper. Was the offer of a stable made out of compassion or out of greed? Did Joseph actually get charged for using the stable that night? No one knows. It's also possible that such a crowd and such a demand for rooms would have meant innkeepers would take advantage of some people. Maybe they would jack up the prices for that particular time. And maybe the rooms were just too much money for someone like Joseph to afford. We just don't really know. But we don't see the innkeeper in the nativity scene. And what about the other guests that were forced to come to Bethlehem for that census, the same census that brought Joseph to this little town of Bethlehem? Where are they in this nativity scene? All of us have seen what big influxes of people do to a large city or even a large town like ours. Imagine a small backwater town like Bethlehem just being inundated with all these people come for the census. Surely some of them at some point during the night went to the stable, if nothing else but to check on their animals. The guests came from every aspect of society into Bethlehem. Rich, poor, tax collectors, priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, all of them were there. The Romans were there. If nothing else, Romans are very thorough. Every person had to be counted, the crippled, the blind, the healthy. There were no exceptions, so all came. It was a steady parade of humanity into Bethlehem, but we don't see them. We don't even remember that they were there. No one would dare put a tax collector in the nativity scene. But they were in town. And maybe some of them came to that inn where Mary and Joseph were. But still there were even more people. The government operation, the census, so Roman officials would have come. They also would have brought Roman soldiers with them. They came to collect the data for the census, but maybe also to maintain the peace in that little town because there were so many people. After all, you get that many people in one place and trouble is bound to happen. You know, census data is very important as it is today. Rome could decide how to spend their money, how to distribute their resources and their troops based on the data that they formed or gathered. The Roman functionaries were there. They too took rooms. They too prowled around the streets, and surely at least one of them must have checked out the stable, if for no other reason than to make sure no zealots were hiding among the straw, ready to disrupt the census. I've never seen a Roman centurion in a stable scene. But at least there had to be one around somewhere, and at least there was one at the cross. The truth is, Mary delivered her child, Jesus, into a scene of chaos. Into the middle of a crowded inn with crowded streets, the Savior was born. The screams of childbirth and the rush to find water and clean cloths would surely have drawn the attention of the curious. Surely a midwife would have been called for and who sent Joseph outside of the stable to get some air because in those days, of course, men were not permitted to be present for such things. The baby was born. In the midlife, a midwife laid Jesus in the closest thing to a crib that she could find. It was a manger. so that Mary and the baby could maybe get some rest. Silent night is not at all possible in a stable. No sooner had the midwife finished her work when a group of complete strangers, shepherds at that, came barging into the story about angels telling them about the birth of the Messiah. All these people crowded into Bethlehem, into an inn, into a stable, all to witness God's plan for our redemption being ushered in. We can only guess what some of those witnesses thought about all this. What was all the fuss, they wondered. Maybe we leave out so many participants in this drama because we don't know what they thought. We only know what the shepherds thought and the wise men. So we stick them in. We perhaps leave out the others because they represent the world's skepticism, the world's ignorance about this powerful event. The innkeeper and his greed, the soldiers with their violence and their injustice, the religious authorities with their later denial and crucifixion of Jesus, we don't want them to soil our nativity scene. That's exactly what needs to happen. This perfect gift of God was born into a nasty, ugly, angry, greedy type of life. We like to sanitize the story. We sanitize our picture of what it was like in that beautiful nativity scene. But you know, Jesus didn't come to make picture postcards. He didn't come to make us feel sentimental. Jesus came to take on the full brutality, the darkness, the pain, the struggle of the lost hearts of mankind. Into the noise, confusion, and crowded nature of humanity's existence came a small, defenseless baby born to a peasant family in a backwater town. A boy who came to grow and experience the best and the very worst human life had to offer. That's what the witnesses saw. Whether they understood it or not, we may never know. But they saw it. Oh, by the way, there were some other people missing from that nativity scene long ago, and still are. You know who they are? We are missing from those nativity scenes. But by the fact we're watching tonight, we have been brought into the crowded stable to see the Christ child. The hope, the peace, the love represented here and everywhere draws us to that manger. Why do you bother to watch? If it's for tradition or to follow the crowd, then you're no different than many of those in Bethlehem long ago. But if you allow yourself to go beyond the manger, beyond the shepherds, beyond the wise men, and the angels, and the crowd, and the star, and the confusion, and see the eternal truth being ushered in. He came for you as much as for those shepherds. You have every right and every opportunity to gather in that stable and see the consolation of Israel and the hope of all mankind. I challenge you to place yourself in the nativity because it's your place to be there. And when you are gazing at the Christ, I want you to thank him that out of his love, you are more than just a face in the crowd.